Thank you all for coming out this Sunday evening in Spanish Fork, Utah. I'd like to thank those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. Invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by email us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank all those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and chair of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today our topic is fully confident. If I find something funny in the general area of our topic, I share it with you. This is about the dangers of overconfidence. It was the end of the school year, and a kindergartner teacher was receiving gifts from her students. A florist's son handed her a box. She shook it, held it over her head, and said, "I bet I know what this is. Flowers." "That's right," the boy said. "But how did you know?" "Oh, just a wild guess." The next pupil, sweet shop owner's daughter. She handed the teacher a box. Teacher held the box overhead, shook it, and said, "I bet I can guess what this is. A box of sweets." "That's right, but how did you know?" asked the girl. "Oh, just a wild guess," said the teacher. The next gift was from the son of the liquor store owner. Teacher held the box overhead, and it was leaking. So she touched a drop off the leakage with her finger and put it to her tongue. "Is it wine?" she said. "No," the boy answered with some excitement. The teacher repeated the process, tasting a larger drop of the leakage. "Is it champagne?" she asked. "No," the boy replied with even more excitement. The teacher took one more big taste before declaring, "I give up. What it is?" With great glee, the boy said, "It's a puppy." Fully confident. Today we're going to talk about the unshakable confidence that God, our name for God is Krishna, is going to do what He says He will. In the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, and there are many similar assurances in Bible, Quran. If you become conscious of me, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can't daily chant the names of God as an individual meditation and not become more conscious of God. It's simply not possible. So that's our process for developing our Krishna or God consciousness. You will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace, Krishna assures his friend and disciple Arjuna. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. And in the purport, Prabhupada, our spiritual master, says here, a person in full Krishna or God consciousness is not unduly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to his friend who is so devotedly engaged 24 hours a day to please the Lord. As soon as one acts in Krishna consciousness, he or she is liberated, free from material confusion, anxiety, and perplexities. One should note very carefully, however, that one who is not active in God consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. But a person who acts in Krishna or God consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted by Krishna from within the heart and confirmed by the spiritual master. Our encouragement today is be fully confident in pursuing Krishna or God consciousness. Why? Because that will deliver you from all the perplexities to do with this vast material whirlpool of birth, death, disease, and old age. Critics may try to talk you out of it. We had a boy about 15 years ago who was coming to the temple chanting Hare Krishna. His parents, who are from an LDS background, were very concerned. So they lived next to Hugh Nibley, the noted theologian of the Mormon culture. They thought they would take the boy to Hugh Nibley, and Hugh Nibley would talk some sense into him. So they came to Hugh Nibley as a friend and a neighbor, and they asked Hugh Nibley, said, "Can you talk this boy out of chanting continuously and repeatedly the names of God?" And you nibbly said, well, why should I want to do that? We should be doing more of the same thing. The parents didn't exactly get the advice from him that they anticipated. Critics may try to talk you out of it. Your mind may tell you you're wasting your time. Your own parents may think that you've lost your mind. Your path may appear full of obstacles. All odds seem to be stacked against you. But deep down inside, for success in spiritual life, one needs the unshakable confidence that Krishna, or God, is a faithful God, and he will do what he says he'll do. 5,000 years ago, according to the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna faced the most perplexing dilemma that you could ever imagine. His teachers, cousins, brothers, and kinsmen faced him on the opposite side of the battlefield, prepared to kill him. All he and his brothers wanted to do was just exercise their God-given rights as rulers. They were born to inherit the throne of the known world at that time, but their enemies conspired to cheat them out of their kingdom. And when the Pandavas, which is Arjuna's brothers, offered to settle, to compromise for ruling only 5 villages, their enemies wouldn't return to them as much land as could fit underneath the head of a pin. So Arjuna is faced with the task of fighting to establish righteousness, honesty, integrity. But he has to fight those with whom he has a bodily connection. Nothing more difficult, no more perplexing dilemma in the history of the world. And no matter how Arjuna tried to work it out, should I or shouldn't I, to fight or not to fight, he couldn't come to a conclusion. Neither could he motivate himself to lift an arm in violence against his teachers and relatives. The result, as it's described in the beginning of the Gita, he lost his composure. This big, strong, powerful veteran of hundreds and hundreds of battles began trembling, perspiring, weeping. His bow dropped on the ground. And then he did something crucial. He said, Krishna, I can't figure this out. Now please you, creator of the universe, Lord in the heart of every living being, supreme, loving Father, super soul within each and every atom, the knower of past, present, and future, now you please direct me, guide me, clear up my doubts. Shishyasteham sarimam tam prapanam. Shishya is a Sanskrit word which means disciple. Arjuna, when he reached the end of his powers, he gave it all up to Krishna and submitted himself as a disciple to Krishna. And during the 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna poured into Arjuna, everything became clear. At the end, Arjuna says, now I am firm and free from doubt and prepared to act according to your instructions. And when you're fully confident in your life, you don't focus on impossibilities. You focus on your God. He may be taking a long time. You may not see how it could possibly work out. But you're not living worried. You're not living frustrated. You're not always trying to figure it out for yourself. There's a peace. There's a rest inside. Because you know that Krishna is in complete control. And the Bhagavad Gita says, Mata parataram nanyat. Above me, there's nothing. Ishvara Parama Krishna. There are many controllers in this world. But if you look, you'll see that every controller has a controller over him. The boss has a supervisor. The supervisor has the regional director. The regional director has the CEO. CEO has the stockholders to account for. But when you go and you find that controller who has no other controller, that cause who causes everything, but who he himself has not caused, that we call Krishna. Ishvara Param, the supreme controller who has no other controller. You may not see a way, but you know that some or other Krishna has a way. To you it may look impossible, but you also know that Krishna can do the impossible. History of the Panama Canal. The French were the first to try this impossible undertaking. They began construction on January 1st, 1880. They worked for more than 12 years on the project. An estimated 22,000 French workers died, and they gave up in defeat. The United States later bought out the French equipment and excavations. They began work on the canal themselves on May 4th, 1904. It was fully and finally opened in 1914, 1 year ahead of schedule. At the time the canal was completed, the designers estimated that the most traffic that the canal could ever support was 800 million tons a year. In 2010, over 300 million tons of cargo moved through the Panama Canal. Those men who worked on that canal and did the impossible, they used to sing a song. Don't send us back to a life that is plain again. We who have shattered a continent's spine. Easy work? Oh, we couldn't do that again. Haven't you something that's more in our line? Got any rivers that you say are not crossable? Got any mountains that you can't tunnel through? We specialize in the wholly impossible, doing what nobody ever could do. We're here today to tell you that God hasn't called you to do little things. He hasn't called you to a diminishing, shrinking, poor little me, receding and retreating life. He's called you to be a world shaker, a world changer. He's called you to do the impossible. He's called you to change the world. 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an incarnation of Krishna in the form of a devotee, predicted Prithivite Achedito Nagar Adigram Sarvachapachoyave Morna. The chanting of Hare Krishna will go to every town and village in the world sooner or later. And we figured it's going to come to Spanish Fork sooner or later, so it might as well be sooner as later. Surrender to God, fully confident that God will do what He says He will do, leads you to victory. It leads you to a state of mind where nothing is impossible. Business may be down, but Krishna says, He'll prosper me. The bank account may say, debt, but Krishna says, you will lend and not borrow. The doctors say, you have to live with that sickness, but Krishna says, I'm restoring health back to you. There's always something in life trying to cause us to waver and to doubt what Krishna has said. Thoughts will come. You'll never accomplish your dreams. You're too old. You're too young. You come from the wrong family. You made too many mistakes. You're not educated enough. And if that weren't bad enough, you turn on the news. And other voices will tell you the economy's bad, unemployment is so high, you'll probably lose your job next. Even well-meaning friends. You've got that? Isn't that the worst kind? I think my grandmother died of that. Be fully confident in what God says. No matter what your mind says, don't be confident in that. No matter what your senses are telling you, don't be confident in that. Whatever your emotions are screaming, don't be confident in that. Be confident in the Word of God. No matter how bad it looks, God would not have put that promise in your heart without also giving you the means of accomplishing it. If Krishna said it, He'll do it. If he spoke millions and millions of universes into existence. He flung stars into the sky. He's not limited by the natural world. He lies down in a corner of the causal ocean, and as He exhales from His breathing and from the pores of His body, millions and millions of universes emanate. Now we all, in our little way, have moments of doubt, moments of uncertainty. Don't allow the seeds of unbelief to take root. Counteract them with a healthy dose of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Always come back to that place of reminding yourself who you are and whose you are. That's what chanting does. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. When doubts and darkness begin to envelop you, just chant and remind yourself that all things are possible. Don't consider your circumstances, consider your God. I'm not just going to consider what my mind is telling me. Not just going to consider all the doom and gloom from the experts. Not going to consider how big my problem is, but I'm going to consider how big my God is and that His laws supersede natural laws. I heard about a preacher. There had been an accident on the freeway and he was on his way to give a service. Quite a few hundreds of congregants, and it looked like being jammed up in the freeway on Sunday morning, he wasn't going to be able to make it in order to deliver the sermon. And the church called the highway patrol, and before you know it, coming in the opposite direction on the shoulder comes a highway patrol car with his flashing lights. He does a U-turn and he says, "Follow me." They get on the curb and they're going 90 miles an hour past all the stalled traffic. And they pass other police cars, breaking every law in the book. And the other police officers just waving. How is that possible? It's because the law was on their side. The law was escorting them. And when the policemen are going 90 miles an hour, no one's breaking the law. Because the policemen make the law. Similarly, 5,000 years ago, we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Krishna was exhibiting his childhood pastimes on the planet. If you, as a Christian, believe that Lord Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, he's on the planet for 32 years. Our information is that God came 5,300 years ago. He was on the planet for 125 years. During the time of his manifested childhood pastimes, there was a Leela pastime whereby a lady who was a fruit seller came to the door of Krishna's foster parents desiring to sell some mangoes and papayas. And the custom in those days was that you would take something by way of barter. You would take some household goods in your hands and you would give that to the fruit seller and then get a right exchange. Well, Krishna's parents were out and he'd seen them do it and he wanted some mangoes. So he took a few grains of rice in his hands and sort of toddled out. His hands were tiny to start with. Most of the grains fell out. He didn't arrive with a lot. But the lady fruit seller was so enamored with the beauty of Krishna. She just felt like, oh, heck with it. The income that I'm getting from these fruits is all that I'm going to have to feed my five kids when I get home. If I give them all these fruits, we're probably going to go hungry today and most of tomorrow. But heck with it. Heck with it. I'm just going to throw out all those practical considerations. I'm just going to surrender. She gave them all her fruits. And she thought, no, we're not going to eat for a cup, but it's worth it. And then she turned back, and instead of her basket being empty, it was full of diamonds, rubies, sapphires, jewels. This is what Krishna says, the very last verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharmam parityagya mam ekam saranam. If you surrender something to me, don't worry, I won't leave you in the wind. I will protect you. I will stand in for you. I will supply what you lack. That is Krishna's promise. And our job is to be fully confident that God will do what he says he will do. That time spent chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Associating with other devotees, singing the names of the Lord, eating vegetarian food, which is offered and consecrated to the Lord, attending festivals, studying and understanding. That time is never wasted. That is your very, very best investment. And that will get you results beyond your wildest imagination. When we consider who Krishna is and who we are, we have to consider that our future is very bright in Krishna consciousness. We have to consider that with God's breath of favor blowing behind our sails, our best days are still ahead of us. Our greatest victories are out in front. Our question to you today is, are you considering your circumstances or are you considering your God? Krishna is saying to you, I am everything you need. If you're sick, I'm your doctor. If you're struggling, I'm your provider. If you're worried, I'm your peace. If you're lonely, I'm your friend. If you're in trouble, I'm your deliverer. If you consider God and not your circumstances, God will show up in your life and do amazing things. In 1950, a half-hour radio slot on ABC became available when the host, Dr. Meyer, died. Billy Graham, who was known but not that well known at the time, as he was about to go up on the stage and address an audience that night in Portland, Oregon, two men suggested that Billy Graham take over that half-hour radio slot which had become available. How much was it going to cost? They said $25,000. I said, that's ridiculous. I don't have $25,000. So he made what he felt was an impossible condition. That night he said, if God personally gives me $25,000, then I'll do it. He thought that was an impossible condition. He thought it was so impossible and even laughable that he shared it with his audience that night. Do you know that just before I came on stage, someone said that I could take this show and all I had to do was raise $25,000, huh? And the audience even laughed with him. But when the show was over and they started counting the collections, it's $24,000. And then when he went back to the hotel, there were two $500 checks there from two businessmen that wanted to support him. In his autobiography, Billy Graham says, "Stunned, I bowed my head and said a silent prayer. Emotion so overcame me that I couldn't think straight. Clearly, these funds had come from God." And that show ran for 66 years, was syndicated on as many as 800 radio stations worldwide. So what's our excuse? We can come up with 1,000 reasons to settle where we are. Oh, your dreams are too high, your obstacles are too big, your health is too bad. Don't make excuses. Instead, have the attitude, bring it on. I'm in agreement with you, Lord. Let it happen. God says it, I believe it. Instead of reasoning it out, well, how can that possibly happen? Just have faith and confidence that when the Lord is breathing in your direction, you're out of the natural and now you're in the supernatural. Say, this may be impossible to do for men, but for God, all things are possible. Are you confident of a great future, or are you already starting to talk yourself out of it? Let me encourage you that Krishna wants to take you places that you wouldn't believe. He hasn't even started to work with you yet. What Krishna has put in your heart, it may seem too big. It may seem too unlikely, but don't talk yourself out of it. Don't run all your calculations and tell Krishna why it's not going to work out. No, my prayer tonight for you is become fully confident. Not 25%, 50%, 75%, but 150% fully confident that God will do everything that He's promised to do in your life. If you'll put this principle into action, don't consider your circumstances, consider your God, you'll end up being able to say, the power of the Most High, Almighty Lord has been with me. He's brought promises to pass that looked impossible. He's enabled me to accomplish dreams far greater than I could imagine. He's hurdled me over obstacles that looked unsurmountable. You'll be able to say that Krishna has been good to me. He's shown up and shown out in amazing ways in this life, and He wants in the next life to take me back home, back to Godhead.